for us this morning. All right, and he's talking about grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that Paul saw just subsequent to what he's reporting here is that he saw Jesus walking in the midst of these seven candlesticks, candlestands, lampstands. And the Bible says that each one of those lampstands represented one of the seven churches that Jesus was getting ready to dictate a letter to through Paul or through St. John. And so the Bible indicates that each fellowship of believers has in heaven a lampstand. And with that lampstand, each fellowship has, it says the seven spirits. Amen. Let's see. From the seven spirits who are before his throne. And so each of the seven churches had a spirit, an angel, that was assigned to that church, to that group of believers. Amen. And so that little light is there to remind us that we are never out of God's mind. Amen. We're never out of his sight. He always sees us. He has assigned an angel aside or in addition to our guardian angels. That's right. The Bible does indicate that we have been given guardian angels. It doesn't tell us how many. I imagine a few of us, like the way that the excursions that Miss Grace finds herself on, she probably has a whole posse of guardian angels that to keep her safe. Amen. But we just go through this life here on earth saying, oh, yeah, here I am holding my little flower and enjoying the blessings of God, not realizing all of the miraculous provisions that God has for each one of us. Amen? And so that little red light over there is just a reminder to each of us that God sees us individually and as a body of believers. Amen? We are part of a team. And if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But he puts us together as a team to encourage each other as we are on that journey. Amen? So that every one of us arrives at the finish line together. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Praise God. All right. But that was just for a means of introduction. What I'm really going to be talking about today is what we find here in Acts chapter 5. And I want you to see today that all actions have consequences. Every action has a consequence. Just previous to this, a couple weeks before this situation occurs, Jesus had found himself by the pool of Bethsaida. And there was a man there that was on a mat, and there was a superstition. Maybe it was something that God did just because God felt like doing it. But it said that whenever the waters were troubled, then the one who could get down into the water would receive their healing. Okay? And people might say, well, why would God do that? Listen, he's God. He does what he wants to do. The Bible says he made sea monsters just for the game of it. Just because he said what this world needs is a good sea monster. Amen? Do I argue with him the danger of having a sea monster around? He's God, all right? And so just for the sport of it says in the King James Version. And so God does some things that we may not understand. We may think, oh, in my mind, that is trite. I tell you what, it wasn't trite for the people that stepped into the water and received their blessing. And so the man is there. Jesus makes this trip specifically for this man. He has been on this mat for years and years and years. And every time that the waters have been troubled, somebody beats him down into the water. Nobody gives him a hand down, and he just sits there. And so for years he has suffered in his, whatever it is, whatever malady he has. And I want you to know that just like the blind man who was blind from birth, people say, well, who's to blame? Was it the sin of his parents or was it his sin? Who's to blame? The Jews were really big in that. There's got to be a reason for everything. And Jesus said that neither the sin of his parents or this man's sin is to blame, but for the glory of God he has been made blind. And it was for the same reason that this man was crippled and laying by this pool at Bethesda for lo these many years. Because Jesus came and told him, do you want to be healed? Yes, I do. Then pick up your bed and walk. I want you to realize that at that point, the man was not healed. There was an act of faith that he had to do. Let me tell you what the devil was whispering to that man's ear at that very moment. Who are you kidding? You've been a cripple here for 20 years, and you think that on somebody's word, you can just get up and walk? Just sit there on your bed and let this foolishness pass you by. That's what the devil was whispering. And I know that because the devil tells me the same thing. And he tells you the same thing, too. Amen? But the man decided, no, I will pick up my bed and I will walk. And at the act of picking up his mat, he received his healing. Amen? At that act, when he showed forth his faith, by faith he received his healing, and he manifested that faith by doing what the Lord commanded him to do, he received that healing. Amen? All right? And so, in the same way, there are consequences for the choice that we make. This man at the pool of Bethesda, he made the right choice, and he received a wonderful consequence for his choice. I'm jerking around my little microphone here, all right? Now, I want you to see something here in our lesson for today in Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 27. And when the temple police had brought them, they had them stand before the council. This is the disciples that they're talking about. And the high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. And so the Jewish leadership is all upset, because at the teaching of Jesus, the people are realizing that it's been the Jewish leadership that voted, that pushed for Jesus' execution. And they're saying, we don't like that. We don't like us we don't like it that you're telling people these things and it's causing them to blame us for killing Jesus. Well, guess what, Bubba? You did. Amen? You did it. And you were stupid enough to say, let his blood be upon us and our children. All right? Guess what? It was. Amen? In AD 70, Jerusalem, Israel, was destroyed and ceased to exist for 1900 years. And that was the worst dispersion that the Israelites had ever experienced. They had experienced their captivity when they went down into Egypt the first time. And then, when, as we learned on Wednesday nights, when they didn't let the ground lie fallow every 7 years, but they went ahead and just farmed the land against God's will, they had 70 years that they had to catch up on. And God took it out all at once. And for just the logistics of that were that they had to leave the land. Because if they don't farm for 70 years, they'd starve to death. And so people, oh, this is terrible. No, God provided for their existence, for their survival, by moving them out of the land so that his land could lie fallow for the 70 years that the Jewish people owed him. And so they were gone for 70 years. And then the third time, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. Okay. 1900 years. The Jews had been dispersed among the nations. And then we have League of Nations voting to restore Palestine to the Jews, and at that time Jerusalem became a nation. Okay? And so this is all fulfillment of a choice that they made. I want you to see something. That even though their choice brought the Jews captivity, brought them dispersed into all the nations and hated, there wasn't a nation on earth that loved the Jewish people. There were Jewish slums in Spain, and then there was an Inquisition in Spain to wipe them out. There were Jewish slums throughout Europe, France, and England. They couldn't live like normal people. They were forced to live in the slums, except for a few of the very, very wealthy. And so anywhere the Jew went, they were hated and they were despised. All right. Once again, I have to say that the Jews did not kill Jesus, as did the Romans did not kill Jesus. The Bible tells us he surrendered his spirit. All right. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me, but I freely lay it down. Amen? And so the argument is a moot point. Neither the Jews nor the Romans killed Jesus. He laid it down. But the Jews made a choice, and God held them accountable for that choice. And so, then moving on, then Peter says, whether we must obey God rather than human authority. Peter is telling them, we'd love to obey your authority, but your authority is in complete contradiction to the Word of God. And we must obey God. And the disciples were willing to suffer the consequences. Let me tell you that there will be times in your life where you will be called upon to do what is good or to do what is God. And sometimes to do what is God is contrary to what the state might say is good. Amen? Just because government says by its laws that this is good or this is bad, remember that slavery was legal in the United States. Because it was a law, was it good? No. The United States has a history of codifying bad things. Okay? And so just because it's the law, so the disciples were willing to go ahead and take their licks, take the discipline that the Jews might hand out, because they were bound and determined to worship and obey God. So let's fast forward now some almost 2,000 years. What happens when the church is told, you can't meet? You can't meet. And you would say, oh, Pastor, with all of our amendments, the first and the second and the fourth and all that good stuff, you telling me that the church would be illegal to go to church? Oh, we did it already. We went through COVID and we were told you can't go to church. And pastors were hauled off in handcuffs by the police because they chose to obey God rather than man. And I'm here today trying to encourage you that we're living in the last times, and there very well may be the opportunity for us to have to make the choice between obeying man or obeying God. You know, the world is so wise. They're so smart. They're not going to come out and say, well, we're not telling you that you have to deny your God or your Savior. But for the purpose of public safety, of public health, all right, we have to do this. And that's what they did during COVID. All right. Now, the reason that we did what we did during COVID was because the whole congregation in our church is part of the, you know, the high risk area. Whether you're over 65 or you have COPD or whatever, everybody here could raise their hands to one of the things that makes us part of the high risk to the COVID. And so we found a way to serve God, and that we developed having our meetings over the internet. And we were one of the very first churches to do that. And as we told other churches about it, it kind of caught on. And then when it was time for communion, how many of you remember communion during that time? Hey, wasn't that a scream? I put on my little bunny suit, which doesn't look like a bunny. That's a decontamination suit, okay, that I would put on with my gloves and my little hat, and I'd push the little cart up and down the hallway, and you would stand on your side of the threshold, and I would stand on my side of the threshold, and I would put the little wafer in your hand, and I would put the little disposable cup in your hand, and we went ahead and observed all the protocols for the quarantine, but we beat the devil because the devil had been so successful in so many other churches just shutting them down. And we found out we can still love God. And we had, how many remember, call in at high noon? Okay, wasn't that fun? We all got together every day at noon on WhatsApp and just shared what was going on in our lives and shared prayers and things like that. And so what happened was we took something that the devil had orchestrated to cripple the Church of Jesus Christ, and because we were led by the Holy Spirit of God, this particular collection of believers, we were blessed by it. We actually saw more of each other during COVID than anybody else did outside of COVID. Amen? All right? But that was because we realized that there were choices that we would have to make, and there would be consequences to those choices. And so, yes, I did bend my knee to Rome in that we canceled them, but not because Rome said we couldn't have services up here. We did it because it was a high risk. And I didn't want any of you to catch what other people had. And as a result, for just about until the very, very end, we didn't have any COVID at the Grand. I think somebody caught it right towards the end of whatever it was. But during those dangerous times, nobody caught it. Why? Because God's hand of protection was on us, because He was honoring what we were doing. And so one of the things that I want you to see is that when you are given a choice, and you have to make that choice, that when you make the right choice, the God choice, that He has promised to protect you. There's a saying that God's grace, God's will not lead you where His grace cannot sustain you. And so He will always keep us safe, even if it's through the things that we have to go through. it would be nice if he would just rapture us out of here so we don't have to have, you know, put up with the restrictions that COVID put on us. But he actually allowed us to grow stronger through that because we made the right choice and his hand of protection was upon us. And so what happens? The disciples, they make the choice. God, they used the opportunity as the temple police arrested them, pulled them in front of the high priest, and they boldly stood and said, look at, this is the choice that you've given us, obey God or obey man. And by the way, don't think that you're speaking for God, because you're not. We're listening to God. We're going to obey God. And they suffered the consequences, got themselves thrown in jail. And, you know, all these things happened to the New Testament believers, but what happened was the church was made stronger because of it. And even those who actually suffered death in the persecutions that would follow, just the testimony that they had made the church all the more stronger. Amen? The Bible says that Jesus is coming back. How many of you believe that? He says he's coming back for a bride that's without spot or wrinkle. How many of you think that we're there? Not yet, huh? Okay. Amen. There's a few spots and wrinkles in the old wedding gown that we're wearing right now, and kind of hard as a guy to imagine wearing a wedding gown, but okay. Okay, our wedding gowns are kind of spotted and wrinkled right now, but we are assured that God is going to make us into the spotless, without wrinkle bride of Christ that he's coming back for. Now, how is he going to do that to a church, not just this group of believers, but to a church that by and large is complacent with the way things are? Things are just fine. Amen. You want to go ahead and get a pastor mad at you? Go up and say, Pastor, I see that you're doing this, but I think if you tried this, it would go better. It would, you know, oh, you'll get that pastor all kind of upset. All right? And even me, people come up and say, Pastor, why don't you try doing this? And I say, who is that people you're talking to? And then the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me and, you know, and okay, we'll do it. All right. But, you know, some people just don't want to listen to the Holy Spirit. And you have seen so many times in history where the church becomes crippled because they just get hung up in the backwaters of their denomination's particular faith, and they don't move into the big thing that God is doing. Amen? And it's not so much anymore, but, I mean, there was really a time when each denomination thought they were the only one going to heaven. And that's how it was back in the 60s and even the 70s. You know, every denomination looked at every, I mean, they're Christians, we're not going to deny that, oh, they call themselves Christians or believers, but everybody pointed fingers at the church down the street and said, too bad, they go to church, faithful and all that, but they're not our denomination, and so they're on their way to hell. And isn't that too bad? Well, that is a wrinkled up, spotted up wedding gown when the bride of Christ is destroying herself over silly little man-made things. Amen. That's why we preach the Word of God here. Amen. And so the time is coming when we're going to be given options. We're going to be given choices. And we're going to have to make those choices, and we're going to have to live with the consequence of those choices. But I'm here today to tell you that God will walk with you through those situations. And it may seem like it's impossible. Do you know how every disciple left this world? Everyone except one. They were all murdered for Jesus. And who was the only one who wasn't murdered? John the Beloved, all right? And the one that wrote this Revelation chapter 1. And it wasn't for lack of trying. I mean, that the world did its best to kill him. Stoned him, boiled him in oil. They could not kill that boy. All right? No, I'm not going to. I mean, just boiled in oil? Yeah, it's got to be a horrendous way to go. And yet God said, I'm not finished with him yet. I'm not finished. He has a revelation that he has to write. And until that's done, I'm not finished with him. And so I just want you to know that it may seem like you have found yourself in an untenable situation. There looks like there's no way out. But folks, it's not over until God is through with your chapter. Each one of our lives are a chapter in the book, his book of life. And when he is done writing that chapter of our life, then we get our reward. We get to go home to heaven. Amen? But not until it's ready. So know that when things happen, that he's still walking there with you. And I doubt if any of us are going to be boiled in oil. I really do. That has kind of gone out with the Inquisition and things like that. But to know that God needs a faithful bride, faithful people who will stand up and say, I will not bend the knee. Only to God. Only to God. Now I'm reminded of a young lady. I should have written her name down. You can read about her in Fox's Book of Martyrs. And she was condemned to the lions for her faith in Jesus Christ. And back when Nero was doing his stuff, there were basically two ways to go. They could either feed you to the animals, or they could use you for lighting the arenas at night. And so they would crucify you, cover you with tar, and light you on fire. And that's how Christians went out. And this lady was chosen to, we're going to entertain the crowds by feeding her to the lions. So a friend visits her on the night before her execution. And he asked her, is there anything I can get for you? And she said, bring me my hairbrush. And when I'm reading this, and I stop right there, I think I could ask for something other than a hairbrush when my execution is at hand. You know, give me a file and a cake. Give me, you know, whatever, you know, a hairbrush. And her comment was that if I am going to go and meet my Lord, the one who died to save me, I want to present myself as best as I can when I leave this life. And that's all she was concerned about. It wasn't out of vanity. This was the last little bit that she could do to make herself presentable when she went to the throne. Amen? And that day she got up, brushed her hair, went out, met the lions, and moments later enjoyed the presence of Jesus. Amen? And so, are any of us going to be called upon to make a choice where the consequence is death? Probably. Maybe not. But if it is, are you going to make that choice? Amen? Because Jesus promised, blessed are those who suffer for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So tomorrow, I'm just going to step out here on faith and say, we're probably not going to face death tomorrow. If you go driving in Houston traffic, you might. Tomorrow, we probably won't face death, but tomorrow we will face choices. And those choices will have consequences. Amen. And have you noticed that the devil is really good at finding souls that just love to come up and make your day miserable? Amen. If you let them. If you let them. Amen. And then, you know, when Jesus said you got to bless those who despitefully use you. Amen. Don't curse them. Oh my goodness. Just to look at that person who thinks, I'm going to steal this. This one thinks he's a Christian or she's a Christian. And she's a happy, 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 happy little Christian. I'm going to fix that. And so that person comes up to you and says something, and you turn around and you say, well, God bless your soul today. And turn around and walk off. Or have you just ruined somebody's day? Wasn't expecting that, huh? Not expecting that. But leave the meeting today knowing that every choice we make has consequences. And as believers, every choice we make often has eternal consequences. So let's make our choice count. Father God, I thank you for your love.